and stop. And I have a word of prayer first. Dear Father in heaven, we are so thankful for this privilege. We can gather worshiping you and also study your word. Lord, may your Holy Spirit teach us today. We pray for some of our brothers and sisters. We pray for YC and Cindy. We pray for their healing. We pray for Richard, pray for his surgery and healing. And pray for the recovery of Caleb and Janine. And also pray for this upcoming DVBS and also our fellowship lunch in our 75 years anniversary. Lord, bless us in all these things. And bless us today when we open the Bible and study your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's turn to Acts 28. We have three sessions of this 27 and 28. Today, I'll share the last part. That's after Christ's part that's happened mainly in Acts 28. So in this new session, we have before crisis, and in the crisis, and after crisis, I will spend several minutes to review a bit of the past two sessions in 27. So the whole story started from a shipwreck. In the beginning, God warned them, right? God built up a small church in 27 verse 2. Paul and Luke and God brought Aristarchus to them. So very small church among more than 200 people in this big boat. And people are disobedient despite warning from the Lord. They continued. So Lord, through Paul, warned them in chapter 27, verse 10, and tell them, "Men, I perceive that this voyage will end with disaster and much loss, not only of the cargo and ship, but also our lives." But we know that nobody listened to Paul. But despite this, God, you, a gracious God, and God delivered his mercy and promise in the same chapter, chapter 27, from verse 21 to 25. For example, in 22, "And now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship." And above this verse 25, the most said, "Therefore take heart, men, for I believe God that it will be just as it was told me." God promised and he delivered. And in his promise is full of love, full of mercy, full of grace. And then in the most critical point, in verse 33 to 38, that's the peak of their disaster, the peak of their distress. And then God again through Paul encouraged them, right? We can read verse 34. "Therefore, I urge you to take nourishment, for this is for your survival, since not a hair will fall from the head of any of you." So think about it. Nobody knows what will happen in a moment. Actually, they need to swim in cold water, maybe for 500 meters, but they already fasted for 14 days. So think about it. What a grace from the Lord. Lord just encouraged them to eat something. Actually, when Paul gives thanks publicly in front of more than 200 people, what a testimony for God, for God's promise and God's love. Verse 35, we see this public ministry, verse 35, "And when he had said these things, he took bread and gave thanks to God in presence of them all. And then when he broken it, he began to eat, and everyone followed him eat." And then in verse 44, the same chapter 27, "And the rest, some on board and some on parts of the ship. And so it was that they all escaped safely to land." God delivered. So this page, we flip. So which means a full story of a shipwreck, but it's not a story of Titanic, a story of wonderful delivery of God's promise and God's salvation. So not only the earthly body was saved, but also all of them, they know there's a true God. And Paul's God is true, and it's powerful, it's merciful. So I believe in that 14 days, Paul and his little church, definitely they will share the gospel with those people in this drifting mode. So they're not only see the earthly grace, they also see the light, the heavenly light, the gospel. So today, after crisis, we'll continue this theme that's in the island and also in Rome. So the theme is still the same. That's God's work continued, God's grace continued. That's exactly the same today. God's work of gospel continues today, and God's work of grace continues today. So let's have a look at what happened in the island. Firstly, in chapter 28, verse 1. Now, when they had escaped, they then found out that the island was called Malta. So I should tell you a bit of the place, Malta. The story started from an island named Crete. So Crete is in Asia. It's in very close to Asia. It's in the east. So from your side here. And all the way, the boat drifting 14 days to Malta. Malta is just in the south of Italy, to Europe already. So you remember when they started this trip, they disobeyed the warning from Paul. They want to go to west for about 50 miles to a city named Phoenix. But all of a sudden, the heavy northern wind blew off. And then they started the shipwreck. And then they lowered the sail, and then drifting for 14 days. But somehow we have autopilot, but now we have God pilot. God just sent them. God just sent them to the place because their destination is Italy, right? If you look at the map, Malta is very, very close to Italy. This is a miracle. Why is that? Because you can't just drifting from the east to the west, because in the winter, the wind blowing from north, right? So in those 14 days, what they expected? They expected some shark mouth on the northern shore of Africa. Is that right? Because they know that naturally, if no miracle, they will drift to northern Africa. And that's famous for danger. So nobody will expect any chance of life. But you know what? God, by miracle, sent them to an island, Malta, and even prepared wonderful grace over there. So today, we have kind of an electric car. We have autopilot, right? I don't know any of you really dare to use that autopilot. It means that you just let it go. You just input the destination, and then you are not the driver. He's the driver. The software is the driver. Nobody really dare to do that. Why is that? Because you better trust yourself than trust the maker, car maker like Elon Musk, right? I should tell you, when we mess up the whole thing, when we surrender, we turn to inner mode, God pilot. And you know what? Only in this circumstances we'll see true miracle. Because we surrender and God's grace show up. So that's the first verse. And second verse, verse 2:28. And then the natives showed us unusual kindness, for they kindled a fire and made us all welcome because of the rain that was falling and because of the cold. I should highlight this word unusual kindness. This is not normal. This is a miracle. So God's miracle is always hidden in this small word, like Malta, like unusual kindness. So this is not something we expect, right? This is winter. And think about more than 200 people in a shipwreck, and they have nothing. They need food, they need fire, they need clothes, they need care. And this demand just grace, love, and mercy. And somehow God brought a lot of natives to help them. And let's continue. Not only this, God continued to save people in that island. Just like God saved the whole ship, more than 200 people. Now, let's read verse 3 to 6. But when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, a viper came out because of the heat and fastened on his hand. So when the natives saw the creature hanging from his hand, they said to one another, "No doubt this man is murderer, whom, though he has escaped the sea, yet justice does not allow to live. But he shook off the creature into the fire and suffered no harm." However, they were expecting that he would swell up or suddenly fall down dead. But after they had looked for a long time and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god. Okay, very interesting. You find this is a group of people totally different from the people on the boat. The people on the boat, they are kind of like us. What they really trust is so-called my experience, my knowledge, or science, whatever, right? I'd rather trust that captain rather than Paul. Right? Paul is a prisoner, captain is professional, right? We explained that before. But this group of people, they had their own theology. From the context, we learned that they may worship idols. They can easily change the judgment from a murderer to a god. So that's so easy that if you bite by a snake, maybe you're a murderer. Well, you escape from a viper, and then you are god. Today, among those people in the boat, even if we see someone got a snake bite, you will not say, okay, this is a murderer. This is not a natural logic in your mind. So God will save different people. So we have different kinds of mistake or error in our life. We stuck in different snare of Satan, but we have the same salvation. So the way to the Lord, the way to heaven is the same, but we are in different troubles. Now, those people on the boat, God saved them from their so-called signs or experience. Now, God will save this group of natives from idolship, from wrong theology. You can find in this work, Paul is always the vessel, right? In the work in the boat, Paul is the vessel of message. Here, Paul is also the vessel of message. Paul is still the worker, right? And God allowed Paul got stuck in the shipwreck. God also allowed Paul bite by a viper. You know what? God's grace and love hidden in it. So this is somehow I want to encourage all of you, because somehow we are all priests of Jesus afterwards, right? Because this is a family meeting. If we really want to do something for the Lord, somehow we need to expect more something like a shipwreck and a viper. You know, that's the way God use us to deliver the love and also deliver the message. So Paul did not just sit down and preach to them. Paul did so, but not to these two group of people, but to those Israelites in Rome, right? So Paul is always the vessel of message. But here, the key message is change your theology. Don't just judge everything through a viper bite. No, that's not right. That's to God. Listen to what Paul said. So here, in verse 7 and 10, from verse 7 to 10, you can look what Paul did. In that region, there was an estate of leading citizen of Ireland, whose name was Publius, who received us and entertained us courteously for 3 days. And it happened that the father of Publius lay sick of fever and the dysentery. Paul went in to him and prayed, and he laid his hand on him and healed him. And so when this was done, the rest of those on the island who had disease also came and were healed. They also honored us in many ways. And when we departed, they provided us, provided such things as were necessary. Okay, now we should highlight this verse 8. When Paul did the healing miracle, he prayed, right? You should compare this verse with the verse, chapter 27, verse 35, right? We just mentioned that. In the boat, Paul, he sang publicly in front of 200 people. In the island, Paul prayed in front of the head of the island, in front of the chief of the island, give thanks of pray to Lord. So the worker always leads people to the Lord. And the worker always deliver the message that the true blessings is from the Lord. So here, when Paul did this, Paul somehow used his own miracle, survival from a snake bite, and use this to tell everyone, trust in my Lord. Trust in my Lord. I pray to him, and look at me, I pray to him, and all of the people in this island, they came. So today, we really may have all kinds of troubles, but when we look at, when we watch the miracles and all these testimonies in recorded in the Bible, we find every time God used the only way, that's look up to Jesus, right? In the boat, they look up to Jesus. In the island, they look up to Jesus. In the boat, they're dying from shipwreck. In the island, they're dying from disease, but all look up to Jesus. So now we move on, right? We focus on the work of our Lord. So he's the one truly working all the time. So when the things start to move on, we find in verse 10 to 11, some new things started. They are moving into Rome. And they also honor us in many ways. And when we departed, they provided such things as were necessary. After 3 months, we sailed in an Alexandrian ship whose figurehead was the twin brothers, which had wintered at the island. Okay, think about this, the whole story. Now they finished the whole winter in this island. We mentioned that when they started their trip, they wanted to go a little bit more to a city named Phoenix to find a more cozy, more comfortable place than the original place they are in. But now God prepares such abundant food and things necessary for them, right? In the island. And more than that, God even prepared a boat, a big boat, waiting for them in that island named Malta. Right? This boat somehow in the next island coincidentally just wintered in. Right? This boat did not mean to save them. Did not mean to take them to Italy. No, this boat just stopped in the island of Malta to spend the whole winter. What should we worry about? Really nothing. God is the God of power, right? He's the Almighty God. He knew all these people. What they really need to do is they need to move on to Italy. And he prepared the food here, and he prepared a big boat here, and on due time, sent everyone to destination. Beautiful. And then, last part of the story, to Rome. And let's have a look at verse 12 to 13, or 12 to 16. And landing at Syracuse, we stayed 3 days. From there, we circled around and reached the region. And after 1 day, the south wind blew. And the next day, we came to Puteoli, and there, where we found brethren, and we are invited to stay with them 7 days. And so we went toward Rome. And from there, when the brethren heard about us, they came to meet us as far as API Forum and Three Inns. And when Paul saw them, he thanked God and took courage. And now when we came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard. But Paul was permitted to dwell by himself with the soldier who guarded him. Okay. If we read too fast, we just skip all this part. But this part is so beautiful. Firstly, we see the fellowship, the brethren love. Why is that? When they reach a place, Puteoli, actually they spend 7 days with brothers in that place. So this place actually is about 200 kilometers south of Rome. It's a port city. So God somehow allowed them to stay here for 7 days. You know, Paul here is a prisoner. Remember this fact. Paul was a prisoner. So he had no power to control the schedule, right? I'm not the one to plan my schedule if I am a prisoner, is that right? But who controls the schedule? Is that centurion? I don't think so. God himself, right? So God allowed them, or God scheduled 7 days of fellowship with some lovely brothers in that place. And more than that, when they arrived Rome, God just sent just lovely brothers to welcome so far. You know, API Forum in verse 15, API Forum is about 68 kilometers south of Rome. And Three Inns is again about 15 kilometers south of API Forum. You can't imagine how this will touch our dear brother Paul and Luke in Aristarchus' heart. That's why Holy Spirit recorded the last part of verse 15. When Paul saw them, he thanked God and took courage. He thanked God and took courage. Paul was also our dear brother, right? Yeah, he was a worker. According to the Epistle of Paul, he was also weak. He needed comfort, he needed encouragement, he needed fellowship love, and God knows that. And God just sent so many brothers, welcome them. And I should tell you, this is not easy because they don't have any phone, right? Nobody just make a phone call. I'm coming, I'm Paul, I'm coming, no. For sure, someone, when they knew Paul arrived, they just walk ahead of Paul, right? Run to Rome and told the brothers in Rome, and they encourage everyone. They come south of 70, 80 kilometers to Paul. That's why in this Paul see the glory of God, right? See the grace of God. He took courage. Because you know what? He has another battle in the next 3 years. Because God continued to work. And Paul continued to work and work with God, right? So now we're moving on. So God encouraged him, and God showed another great miracle in verse 16. Now when he came to Rome, you know, the centurion delivered prisoners should theoretically include Paul, right? Paul was a prisoner, no doubt, at that time. He delivered other prisoners to be accurate, to the captain of the guard, but Paul was permitted to go by himself. This cannot be done by any people. This is a miracle. That reminds me about some other epistles. I remember maybe Epistle Philemon, Epistle Ephesians. Paul called himself under prisoner of Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, we may be a prisoner of Roman Empire. Maybe, but I should tell you, we are all prisoners of Christ Jesus. No one can be more powerful than the Lord. So this is not the moment of true prisoner, or the prisoner without any freedom, and then God just gave him freedom to what? To preach the gospel for 2 years. And in Rome, Apostle Paul continued to work, right? Starting from verse 17 to 27. I will not read the whole sections. So this whole sections, Paul just preached the gospel to all the Jews who visited him. So you see, God is always working to different people. God gave them different message, right? Message to the boat, message to the island, and message to the stubborn Jews. Totally different. But all tell them to look up, right? To look up, because there's no other way to be saved. You need to humble yourself to the Lord, and that's the only way. So in all this message, God just used Paul to lead all these stubborn Jews out of their proud of law, right? The pride of law, and to the mercy of salvation. But unfortunately, most of them, they just rejected. So we can read verse 28. Because of time, we just highlighted the last several verses. So in verse 28, it said, therefore, let it be known to you that the salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles, and they will hear it. So God always do things the same. Jew first and Gentile later, right? And when Paul started the trip in the Acts, in Book of Acts, always to the synagogue, Jews first, and then rejected, and then Gentile, and then you know what, in verse 28 or 29, and when he had said these words, the Jews departed, and a great dispute among themselves. I can imagine everyone in these three places, the boat, the island, and the Jews, actually the same. They hear the news, they hear the good news, they hear the gospel, and they have a great dispute. Every one of us, we struggle in our hearts. We should make a decision. Which way I should continue? I should continue in my so-called knowledge or the science, or continue in my so-called this is a God, that is a murder, or continue in my so-called I have God because I have Lord? No. Oh, it's only one way. Lord Jesus and Him crucified. Here, a great dispute. When they hear the good news, right? A great dispute among themselves. But we believe some are saved, some perish. So although in that boat, everyone are saved from shipwreck, but maybe only some of them are saved from lake of fire. Although in that island, all of them are saved from disease, but only part of them are saved from hell. Although here, all the Jews, they have the Moses law. Only some of them are saved from lake of fire. Today we are the same. We all have all kinds of troubles and maybe pride and maybe things. I think I'm good. But when we say, Lord, help me, Lord will help us. Lord will help us. And to be honest, that's the critical moment. When we see the grace of God, we should respond to that grace by obedience, say, Lord, I will follow you. That's the purpose of all the mercy grace God sent to us. Why God healing today? Why God solving our trouble today? God wants us to be truly saved. Just the verse on my back. That's the truth. That's the most important truth. And lastly, let's have a look at verse 30 and 31. Then Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own rented house and received all who came to him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching the things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no one forbidding him. Oh, this is so lovely. Okay, let's have a look at this keyword, 2 whole years. 2 whole years as a prisoner, he had the freedom to preach the gospel. We can only explain this is a miracle, and this is the will of the Lord. And received all, in verse 30, 2 whole years, received all. Received all means what? Just like John 3:16, right? Whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Whosoever means everyone. Receive all means everyone. Today, church door is still open to everyone. Whosoever wants to believe, God receives. And then lastly, he preached what? He preached the kingdom of God and teaching things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the message, right? That's the focus. And lastly, no one forbidding him. No one can forbid God's word. You know what? I find a very interesting thing. All the other epistles stop at blessing. This book stops now. You know what? Quite interesting. My version of Bible, I use it daily. This verse stop at the end of one page. So every time I always expect chapter 29. Yeah, this is not like the end of the book. And then when I flip, I find, oh, it's Romans. Stop here. No, not stop. It continues today. Today. Because God is the same today as the day of Apostle Paul. You and me, we are the testimony of the same story like Apostle Paul's days in chapter 28. So we continue. After 28, all those things in the history They continue the 29 and 20 and 30 because Holy Spirit worked and blessed every day until eternal future. So what a wonderful, wonderful truth. Let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, we are so thankful again for this wonderful truth. You are the God of grace. You are the God of power, Lord. So when we read all this scripture, we cannot hold thinking, Lord, how can we deserve this, Lord? We're just filthy sinners. We're not deserved. We're just like those people in the island. We're just like those people in the ship. We're just like those people, those seven Jews, Lord. But you love us. You showed us your unconditional love in the Bible. You are still waiting today for our response. Lord, we should say, Lord, I want to follow you. I want to abandon my plane, pilot. I want to abandon the autopilot. I want to switch to God pilot in my life. We pray in Lord Jesus' name. Amen.